Welcome to God Invention Radio with your host, Brian Free.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Leslie Scott, president of Oxford Games and the inventor of the Jenga, is with us tonight. Leslie, you with us?
I am indeed.
Super. We're going to continue the show, and we're going to open up the phone lines. And if you want to speak to Leslie, you can call 877-474-3302, or I know that there's people out there that rather just email and let me ask the questions. You can email me at brian@gotinvention.com. Okay, so Leslie, you gave us some experience of how it felt to go out there in the stores and continue to go out in the stores and see the Jenga on the market. It's worldwide, right?
It is worldwide, yes. I mean, Jenga now, it's actually produced under license by Hasbro, and they have it on sale worldwide.
That's fantastic. And was it just game ideas that you came up with, or is it just, I mean, that's what you started with? Was Jenga your first one?
Jenga was my first game and my first product, and having designed Jenga, that's what launched me into. I mean, what basically happened is there are not many professional games designers, and what I found is that once I had designed Jenga, and people asked me what I did for a living, and I said I designed games, and then I found that they took me seriously, and I found that I was being given commission to design games from certain games companies, toy companies, and also from other people sort of looking to other institutions looking to have product on the market.
That's very interesting. I may change my title from inventor to the different products that I come up with too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very interesting. So I mean, realistically, you're an inventor, but you just said that you're a product designer or you're a game designer.
Yeah, I think I would say that I became a professional game designer having designed and put Jenga on the market, and then I have concentrated over the last 30 years in designing games.
So how did you really come up with Jenga? I mean, what was it that sparked this idea?
It went back quite far. I actually designed Jenga back in the mid-1970s when I was about 18 at the time, living in Ghana on the west coast of Africa. And I had a younger brother, but he was a baby brother at the time. He was about 5 years old at the time. And he had a set of wooden playing blocks, you know, just regular children's building blocks.
With the letters on the sides and the number.
Well, in this case, they didn't have the letters on the side. I mean,
okay.
The thing that was slightly different about this was because we were living in Ghana, these blocks were handmade. I mean, there was a lot of wooden products in Ghana being made there. And these were kind of offcuts from a local sawmill and were effectively handmade. And they were made in very nice hardwoods, but apart from that, they were just these sort of building blocks. And it was playing around with these building blocks that I came up with this idea for the game. I mean, one has to bear in mind that my family were a family. We used to play lots of games, and there was nothing particularly unusual in turning an activity into a game, so to speak. And to be perfectly honest, it wasn't for a few years. It wasn't until a few years later, having played this game within the family, having played it with friends. It really took a few years for the penny to drop that this was actually not what everybody did with these blocks, with building blocks. You know, what I had actually done was actually come up with an original game. And then I had to take, obviously, having decided that I was going to take this game and put it on the market, I had to go through the whole process, which I think any designer, inventor would have to do, is to actually take something that, you know, you've got one or two sample copies of, and prototypes, so to speak, and actually turn this into something that could be mass produced.
So you had this idea of these blocks that are different shapes and that they're going to stack on top of each other. And
mm-hmm.
this is the process and you have to get it up to a certain level.
Yeah.
So when you had that thought in your mind, mm-hmm. what did you do next?
What I did next was that the blocks are only very, very subtly different shapes, the different sizes. It's key to the game that they have to be slightly different sizes, but it's actually they're very, very subtly different sizes. And so one of the most difficult aspects of thinking about how to turn this game that I had a couple of handmade samples into something that was mass-produced was actually finding some way of mass-producing these slight differences. I mean, it's actually not so difficult to design something where, I mean, to mass-produce something where the blocks were identical. I mean, that could have then been done in plastic or done in anything, any material where you kind of just sort of churn them out and they're all identical. The difficulty with Jenga is that these bricks had to be all slightly and randomly slightly different.
And this was a thought that you had in your mind, or as you started to go through the process, you realized that that's what you needed to do?
Well, I knew that I needed to do that. Because I knew at that point that was the key to the game. And I did that. I actually went to I was working an exhibition design company, and there was a carpenter or a sort of master carpenter as part of the team there. And I went to him and asked and talked through with him how for him to sort of give me some sort of advice as to how to actually mass produce these blocks.
Did he at least make you up that first set of your prototype?
He did. I mean, okay. We worked this out together, and he came up with a solution as to how I could do this. And I had a couple of he made a handful of prototypes for me. But then I went to then I had to look for a sort of workshop that could actually do this in mass numbers. And I was incredibly lucky. I was introduced to an organization that was called Camp Hill. And this Camp Hill have they're a sort of sheltered workshop, for want of a better term. And Camp Hill have these villages I'm not sure what you'd call them, sort of organizations,
okay.
Actually around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they happened to have one in Yorkshire in England. And I went up to visit this amazing village up in Yorkshire where they have a farm and they have a glass workshop and a dairy and all sorts of things like that. And they have a wood workshop. And I asked them whether they would be interested in mass producing my game for me. And they were interested in doing that. But by their very nature, I mean, from the start, they said, you know, if this game became very big, they wouldn't actually want to be involved in mass producing something. It would completely swamp their outfit.
So it was a good start. You found somebody. You found a village that they were helping you, and you were helping them. And,
yeah.
And they brought it up to a point where you were producing it, and it was comfortable. And
yep, exactly.
So while you started working with them,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what came next? What did you do next?
Well, I worked with them. They produced it for me, and then I took the game to the London Toy Show,
okay.
and exhibited the game at the London Toy Show in 1983.
And what was the response there?
I didn't sell one game.
You didn't sell one game.
Not one single game, and there was it was a total disaster.
Holy cow! You know, that's the thing at those shows. Either you have an appointment with somebody, or
yeah.
it's kind of just people just flying by.
Well, what I mean, this is a very, very steep learning curve. I by that time, obviously, I had tested the game, and anybody who played the game loved it. And I just thought all I needed to do was to put it on the show, and the buyers would be flocking to my stand to buy this totally original game. And that's not at all what happened.
When you made those prototypes up and you started giving some around, what was the response there? Were you skeptic, excited? We have about a minute and change left, but I'm curious to know how you were feeling at that point.
Oh, I was really positive. Until I went to the trade show, I was absolutely convinced. I mean, I'd borrowed money up to the hilt to put this thing on the market. I was completely convinced that I would have a winner on my hands, the next day from having taken it to the show.
Wow. So let's just kind of keep going here. So you did that toy show, and mm-hmm. it was a bomb, and you left there, and what were you thinking?
What I walked away from that show with was, as I say, it was a steep learning curve. What I learned at that show was that if you go into, and this is not unique to the toy market, but this is very much what happens in the toy business, is that I was a totally unknown company and a one man band, so to speak.
Right, you had one product. Right.
The retail business is absolutely not set up to deal with an unknown one product company. They just weren't interested. I mean,
okay. That's fine. Well, you know what? We're going to learn more about your process. I mean, that was the start, and we're going to leave our listeners hanging to the next segment because this one's just about to end. You're going to be able to call in the next segments to speak to Leslie or ask a question for her or myself. The number is 877-474-3307, and you can email Brian at gotinvention.com. We'll be back in a few moments with Leslie Scott, president of Oxford Games. You're listening to Got Invention Radio on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk. We'll be back in a moment.
Voodoo Lounge.
Come see Vegas from our point of view.
Ride the glass elevators 51 stories above the strip to the peak of the Rio All-Suite Hotel and Casino.
Find yourself in a spell as we take you inside the Voodoo Lounge.
World champion bartenders flare up your favorite potion.
Perhaps our signature smoking witch doctor will be perfect to accompany you outside to the most incredible, breathtaking view of Vegas.
Gorgeous voodoo dolls dance in their cages to help you get your groove on while you make your way down the winding stairway to the VIP couches.
Listen, dance, chill, and groove to the hottest DJs spinning the top 40 old-school hip-hop mashup in house for your one-of-a-kind local experience.
For VIP reservations, call 777-6875. 777-6875.
Open nightly, and local ladies are always free. Voodoo Lounge,
only at the Rio All Suites Hotel and Casino.
The bottom line is social media can add to your bottom line. This is Angie Swartz, host of Twitter Talk Radio. To learn how social media can work for you, log on to freesocialmedianewsletter.com. Receive regular, short, helpful tips that will show you how social media can take your company to the next level. It is absolutely free and worth every penny. That is freesocialmedianewsletter.com. freesocialmedianewsletter.com.
Hey, this is Brandy Blanton, publisher of Southern Exposure Magazine. As a business owner, I'm always looking for ways to cut costs. And there's one expense that can almost always be reduced. Your cell phone bill. How much are you paying for employee cell phones and service? Most companies are spending 10 to 60% more than they should be. Call NationLink Wireless to find out if your business is one of them. Ask NationLink for an audit of your cell phone expenses. Their experts are up to date on all wireless offerings and rate plans. And they'll do three things for you. One, they'll review each line item on your monthly bill. Two, they'll identify any unnecessary spending. And three, they'll report back to you with the best carrier and rate plan based on your current usage. A typical savings around 27%. There's really no downside. If they don't save you money, it's free. If they do, their fee is based on your savings. Call NationLink now at 567-2222 to schedule your bill audit. That's 567-2222. NationLink Wireless, making wireless easy.
Do you have an idea or an invention and not sure what to do next? Take the first step and get your copy of the book, You and Your Big Ideas by Brian Fried. From protecting your idea to developing it and bringing your product to market, this handy resource guide is a must-have for every inventor, innovator, and entrepreneur. This book is all about you and your big ideas and bringing them to life. Only $10.95.
Order now and also receive your free product evaluation kit with the book. Call now.